Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Joining us on the line once again is Dr. Buthumelo Semeti Makokotlela, who is the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. A very, very good morning to you, and thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well, thank you. I hope you're also well.
I am indeed. So the question, of course, is we know what's happening with the regulations with regard to Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson. We know that AstraZeneca, although approved, was decided and was not used in South Africa. But is SAHPRA looking at other vaccines as well? We hear all these rumblings around the Sputnik V, around the Chinese vaccines. Where are we with that?
Yeah, no, thank you for that question. So we have indeed received applications for Minister with Sinovac. We've received for both, but let me give some details on Sinovac. So that is the vaccine that's manufactured by Sinovac, and we've got a local applicant that has submitted that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been having numerous engagements with them. We are at a very advanced stage of evaluation. We've looked at the bulk of the data and the information that they've provided to us. There is a bit of outstanding information that we've engaged the applicant on, and we hope that as soon as they submit that, there will be an outcome. With the Sputnik V vaccine, it is a rolling submission, so as the data becomes available, it is then reviewed, so there's quite a bit of data still outstanding. They've also applied for Section 21, and even for that, similarly, there is data outstanding. So that's the status of the two. We have not received an application for Sinopharm, for Moderna, nor for Novavax. So we don't have those to make a decision.
Right. So the only ones you're really looking at, it's quite limited in terms of what applications you received at this point.
That's true. And until we receive an application, I mean, we cannot get involved in, engaging directly with
no, because that's
asking them to apply.
That's procurement. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is really not what your function is. What's interesting to me is how does SAHPRA look at it? Because you could find, for example, that one of the vaccines are safe to use, that that there are no adverse effects to it, but it's only got a certain percent efficacy. Do you have that as a minimum? In other words, do you go into it saying, well, unless it's got a 57% or whatever percent would be efficacy against serious COVID, we are not going to approve it? Or is your job as an organization to say, look, it's perfectly safe, you can use it, we don't think it's going to be particularly efficacious, but there's no problem with it. What is your mandate, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Yeah. No, thank you. So our mandate, is to look at, let me start with safety.
Mm.
So that's the key element. So we would look at, from their clinical data, did they demonstrate safety? And also, safety doesn't end with them just submitting the initial data. Even when the product is being rolled out, we monitor the data. So we even are monitoring the J&J and the Pfizer from a safety product. And
right.
We have people who report any adverse effects. From an efficacy product perspective, so there is a minimum requirement as guided by the WHO, which we also subscribe to. What we also consider is the data against the beta variant, that is the most dominant variant at the time, at the present time in South Africa. And so we are requiring that data be available. And in the event that it's not available, we then engage with the manufacturer to say, how can they access that? Because we have to demonstrate that the vaccine is effective against this variant. So that's a very important consideration for us.
And do you have minimums? Because obviously, because everything works on a scale. You know, there's nothing that's 100% or 0%.
Indeed. Yeah. So we've got minimum, which is at least have lab-based data, wherein you show through what we call neutralization assays that it is effective, at least in the lab, and then we can then engage in terms of the clinical data. So where applicants that had that clinical data, so the decision was easier. In the event that they don't have the data, we then have to engage with them to see how they're going to, you know, get that data, because for our context, that's very critical data to have.
Do you need to come up with a yes or a no, or do you often release the use of the medication or vaccination, but with certain provisos?
Yeah, so with the, you know, context of COVID, we've had to put conditions, and that's why we've issued either Section 21 or conditional market authorization. As you know, vaccine in the world has received full market authorization from any regulator because of the pandemic. We know that there's
and
a
the
lot
time,
more
I suppose.
Yeah, that they must gather. So all of them are conditional, emergency use listing, emergency use authorization with very strict conditions from us as regulators. And that's what we've done for J&J, that's what we've done for Pfizer.
If you don't mind me shifting, and it wasn't the subject of the interview, but I'm fascinated by it because every week I record a podcast with one of the doctors on the pulmonologist on the front line, and we put out to the public asking for questions, and every week we get at least 10 questions around ivermectin. And what I've noticed just anecdotally is that every wave, as the wave gets worse and as the number of cases get worse, so anxiety increases and everybody's looking for the silver bullet, which we know with COVID unfortunately doesn't exist at this point. But every time, both in the second wave and now in the third wave, we keep coming back to ivermectin as though the doctors are withholding critical medication and trying to, help Big Pharma by not prescribing ivermectin. You were very involved as an organization in the beginning. There was criticism around your approach to ivermectin. In terms of, where are you with that? Are you revisiting that on a constant basis? I know ivermectin can be prescribed. I know that that's not the issue right now. But what are you seeing in terms of data and effectiveness of ivermectin as a treatment?
Yeah. No, we continue to monitor that as we've indicated and committed to the public. And the latest publication that we made available indicates that ivermectin is not effective. So we haven't changed our position. It still remains to be that there's insufficient data to indicate that it's effective or not effective. So it is accessible, however, through this controlled compassionate use program. So that's still a mechanism that is available to the healthcare practitioners. There's about 8 manufacturers that have been authorized to bring in, you know, the correct formulation for human use. And it can only be accessed from those 8. It's indicated on our website. You must know who you're getting it from. You must know which health facility will store it. And you must know which patient you will be, as a medical professional, prescribing it to. And you must report to us on the performance of the patient.
But at this stage, what you're seeing, just to clarify, is that you are not seeing data that is showing that ivermectin is useful or having positive results.
That's absolutely correct, yes.
Sameti Makokotlela, thank you as always for chatting to us and bringing us up to date with what SAHPRA are doing. That is the Chief Executive Officer at the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority.